the silver trumpet. Make thee two trumpets of silver. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2. There is mention of trumpets more than 100 times in God's word. In this instance, two trumpets were to be made, as for one thing, Aaron only had two sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, who were to blow them. But two was also the number of testimony. The material was to be silver, which in Bible symbolism denotes redemption, and which is precious, durable, and fit for sound. God's message to man is the message of redemption. They were blown by the priests, which suggests that only those chosen of God should sound the good news. The message is that God is reconciled. The ransom has been paid, a remedy provided, a savior given. Their notes were to be loud and clear and most distinct. That is to teach us that the ministering brethren in our assemblies are to lift up their voices like a trumpet, to show men their perishing condition through sin, and to encourage them, as such as are ready to perish, to come to Christ for salvation. As we see in Isaiah 27 and verse 13, and Isaiah 58 and verse 2, the gospel is comparable to silver, being fetched out of the mines of sacred scripture, pure and free from the dross of errors of human invention. The gospel is everlasting and durable, as well as valuable and precious, containing the unsearchable riches of Christ and all the treasures of divine truth. The trumpets were of one piece, as is the gospel message. Out of one solid mass of silver. And it was to be beaten work to make these trumpets, to denote the pure and unmixed gospel of Christ, having no dross, nor bad, nor base metals of human corruption, that in these gospels, in this gospel of his grace, there is no jar, no discord, no contradiction, but all is in perfect harmony and agreement. The silver for them was refined silver. For the words of the Lord, we read, are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalm 12, verse 6. They were also of beaten work, to remind us that redeeming grace was the result of the Savior's suffering. Redemption was a thorough work. When Israel was redeemed out of Egypt, not a hoof was left behind. Our lives through redemption are to be like that of wrought and beaten silver. Now, the use of the trumpets were several. First of all, they gathered the redeemed together. When they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves. Chapter 10, verse 3. God's people were called by the trumpets to assemble. Thus they were instruments to establish the relatedness, the oneness, and the fellowship of the Lord's people. They had a unifying effect. God calls his redeemed to holy assembly, so that public worship and praise should be offered him. Nothing should be allowed to divide or scatter them. The blessed Savior, our High Priest, is in the midst, and the blessed Spirit of God inspires the praise. The offering of such praise rises as a fragrant sacrifice before the Father's face in glory. It is sad to think, is it not, that there are those who lightly esteem public worship. It is here that spiritual life thrives, and relationships are strengthened, and fellowship consolidated. Secondly, these trumpets were, they ordered forward movement. When ye blow an alarm, the camps shall move forward. Verse 5. They were thus for ordering the life and movement of God's people. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire provided guidance. And when Israel was in right relation to God, the guidance was always toward the land of promise. When the time came for the people to move forward, the trumpets sounded to give order and direction, bringing them ever nearer the Lord's inheritance of rest and fullness. This will remind us surely that the earth is not our rest. We are strangers among its people and pilgrims through its territory. There is a tremendous purpose in being called together in the fellowship of God's Son. That purpose must not only be known but realized. His people need to be kept from wandering. The need is to be released from the bondages of earth and to have their affections set on heavenly things. There must be a people on the march. The gospel trumpets remind us that earth is not our rest or our home. We are to move on, ever on, unto God's eternal purpose. Again, these trumpets call to conflict. If ye go to war, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpet. Verse 9. The redeemed are involved in spiritual warfare. This is not a strange thing for such a peacekeeping people. We live in a hostile world, and warfare is necessary, a necessary part of our high calling. There is an incessant conflict, and the battles are the battles of the Lord. There are times when we have to stand in bold defiance of the world around us. Our foes are many and mighty and wily and restless. They are in every place and lurk in every corner. They are the hateful hosts of hell, the seduction and snares, the smile and sneers, the arts and threats of a world which lies in the hand of the wicked one. The trumpets sound out sure victory. The Lord is among his people, and they shall overcome. Finally, the trumpets sounded for praise. Also in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, in the days of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpet. Verse 10. They were to be blown when they had overcome an enemy, for instance, or a day of celebration, as the days of Purim and the 7 days of rejoicing appointed by Hezekiah. Any occasion of rejoicing on account of some extraordinary deliverance and salvation. So the trumpets were blown. This denotes the spiritual joy of God's people through the ministration of the word and the ordinances of the Lord's day and other seasons. The trumpets were to sound praise on special days. Salvation is a feast and is so often described so in the Gospels. What a cheering note redemption is. These trumpets teach us to sing aloud and make a joyful noise unto our God. Psalm 81 and verse 1. The remembrance feast celebrates the meritorious death of our blessed Savior. But this ought to bring forth our joyful praise. Our every day should be a feast of gladness and an offering of praise. And when at last the trumpet sounds over our grave, even our sleeping dust shall arise in a new form. Then the redeemed shall gather to be with him in his home on high and praise his blessed name forever. Now listen to the words of Mr. Edward Plumter Rejoice, ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ our King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With all the angel choirs, with all the saints on earth, pour out of the strains of joy and bliss through rapture, noblest mirth. Rejoice, 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 give thanks, and sing. Still lift your standard high, still march in firm array, as warriors through the darkness toil, till dawns the golden day. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Yes, on through life's long path, still chanting as we go, from youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Then on, ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ, your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Amen and amen.